Everybody ready? This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy, your born and raised Texas energy provider. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
All right, after a one-week respite, though if there were someone to have spent an entire couple of segments setting up Army-Navy, the only FBS game on the schedule last week, Phil Steele would have been that guy. But that would have been stretching it a little bit, even for Phil. But we now have the bowl schedule ready to roll starting Saturday. Obviously, at the front end of it, we don't have the glamorous games. But they get their moments in the sun, so we'll start there with Phil as we build over the next 3 weeks through the bowl season and then, of course, to the college football playoff semifinal games, the 29th, the championship game, January 7th. So, Phil, welcome and happy holidays. And, well, let me start before we dip into the games. In the end, you think it was cut and dry, the conference championship game results swung the Heisman Trophy for you and certainly for the masses from Tua to Kyler? Or do you think if those games hadn't been played on Saturday, Murray might have had a chance anyway?
Murray, definitely, in my mind as a voter, Murray had a chance coming into the conference championship games. I had the quarterbacks pretty evenly rated. In fact, I thought Haskins had, if you're just voting on conference championship games, Haskins throwing for nearly 500 yards against Northwestern was pretty impressive. But I think he had to look at the body of work on the season. Now, for most of the season, everybody was saying Tua was it, and I kept arguing, no, and not in my mind, he's not. I'm going to wait for the entire work of the season, and I think it had a big-time influence on it, and I'm glad most of the voters did indeed hold on to their votes. I think only 10% of the voters voted before the conference championship games.
And there are so many layers on something like this with two tremendously worthy candidates. It shouldn't be held against Tua that Alabama basically blew everyone out, and he didn't have to play in X number of fourth quarters. On the other hand, Kyler Murray, given the state of Oklahoma's defense this season, he had to produce at a mega level week in, week out.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, if you look straight at the stats, you see that Kyler Murray threw for about 700 yards more. He had, you know, three more touchdown passes. And the big thing was he brought the running ability, 892 yards running versus just 190 for Tua. Now, in Tua's defense, he did take on better defenses than did Oklahoma's Kyler Murray, and as you mentioned, wasn't on the field for the fourth quarter. But I think the running ability of Kyler Murray and the fact that they almost had to score every time they had the ball meant he was playing with a lot more pressure during the year.
A little bit of a goofy hypothetical, or maybe a lot of a goofy hypothetical, Phil. If somehow Oklahoma had to kick back one of the two most recent Heisman trophies, the greater season, Baker Mayfield 2017 or Kyler Murray 2018?
Wow. You know, the amazing thing there, Charlie, is that during my radio circuit over the summer, when I broke down Oklahoma, I said, well, naturally, Kyler Murray is not going to match Baker Mayfield's stats from last year. I mean, Mayfield hit 71% with a 43-6 ratio and threw for 4,600 yards. But he will be a more dangerous runner. And now you look at the end of the season, yeah, he did match his stats basically, 71% with a 40-7 ratio. I think Murray's running ability, the 892 yards versus Mayfield's 311 from last year, would give him the edge. I would say Kyler Murray.
And certainly if he goes on to win his first playoff game, not that Baker Mayfield came up short personally in that 54-48 loss to Georgia, but heady times, as they usually are, Oklahoma Sooner football. All right, Phil, to the first of the myriad bowl games, the honor goes to the New Mexico Bowl Saturday afternoon. Utah State and North Texas, and I'm somewhat amused by the Texas Tech subtext involved with this. Matt Wells will not be coaching Utah State, the Red Raiders' new head coach. Seth Luttrell was another rumored candidate doing great work in North Texas. So it's the Aggies, calm down, A&M types, Utah State's Aggies, favored 7.5 or 8, an interim coach before Gary Anderson comes back for a second tenure. What do you think in Albuquerque?
You know, I think if Matt Wells was still there, I might have a different outlook on this game. I think Matt Wells is one of the better young head coaches out there. You go back to when he started at Utah State, his first 2 years, he had veteran teams, and those teams both produced double-digit win seasons. Then he had the inexperienced squads. They were near the bottom of my experience ratings for three straight years. Finally, this year, they're back towards the top of the experience ratings. I had my number two most improved team in the country coming in, and they did not disappoint. with an outstanding year. The only losses were at Michigan State and at Boise, both close losses. They've got one of the most explosive offenses in the country, averaging 47 points per game. Dynamic quarterback in Jordan Love. They definitely have the running backs with Thompson and Bright. Meanwhile, when you look at North Texas, they do rate the edge on defense coming into this one. North Texas defensively held their opponents to 6 yards below their season average. Utah State allowed 22 above, so I give them the edge on the defensive line, DB. And North Texas still has a pretty good quarterback themselves. Mason Fine is a guy threw for 3,700 yards this year with a 27-5 ratio. The coaching edge is big. This is Luttrell's third bowl game versus an interim head coach. I think the site favors Utah State and the fact that he's got altitude. They play here every other year. But overall, when I look at these two teams with Matt Wells out of the equation, I have to take the points with North Texas, and they're still getting over a touchdown. It's been coming down since it started. Opened up at 9, and now it's down to 7.5. I say grab it now because I think it's going to continue to come down. So take the over a touchdown with North Texas.
Fellas, we've discussed it, different points, well, really through the years. Texas Tech's a challenging gig. Within the Big 12, Texas and Oklahoma just institutionally have it. So it's more Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Kansas State. You can try to elevate above them, and then in your big years, maybe have the breakthrough as Leach did have back 10 years ago. Sounded like a pretty good endorsement from you for Matt Wells for the Tech job. And while we're at it, what about Kansas State going to the FCS dynasty to get Snyder's successor?
Yeah, and I do like the Matt Wells hire. I thought Kingsbury did a good job, but I think Matt Wells is going to come in and take advantage of some of the recruits. I mean, they definitely have improved on defense at Tech, and I think Matt Wells will get the most out of the defense and give them just a more balance in the offense. I do like the hire, and I think Matt Wells will get the most out of the talent on hand. As far as K-State goes, I mean, they are replacing a legend, and they replace him with a pretty good coach. But I just think Bill Snyder is one of those guys that is going to be tough to replace. We saw that the first time around when he stepped out. K-State had nowhere near the success they had the previous time. I think it was a good hire in K-State's respect in the fact that here's a guy that's recruiting in the same area, you know, the same type of athlete, still can go to Florida and get guys. He's been productive. It's not your splash hire that you wanted. But in K-State's case, I think it's probably as good as you're going to get.
Phil, I'm not big on 6-6 teams making bowl games. When you're Tulane, it's a pretty big deal, and they did finish with a winning record in conference. The Cure Bowl in Orlando, the Green Wave, a small favorite over Louisiana Lafayette.
Yeah, you know, and Lafayette's a team that comes in at 7-6, so they've got that little advantage where they're not having to. To me, the advantage goes to Tulane and the fact that they're playing not to have a losing season this year. And when I look at these two teams and balance them out, I like Tulane's defense. I think Tulane's got solid edges on the defensive line, edges at linebacker, edges at defensive back. Louisiana's got a little bit advantage offensively. You look at their quarterback this year in Nunez. He's a little bit more dynamic. They got Trey Regis at running back. And I think their offensive line, I mean, they averaged 5.7 yards per carry this year. But big defensive edge, slight edge on offense, Louisiana. Big defensive edge at Tulane. I think they rate the slight coaching edge. Their coach's been there longer. The matchup edge I like in the fact that they have an outstanding rushing offense going against a weak rush defense. Louisiana on the year, giving up 5 yards a carry, over 200 yards per game. Special teams advantage Tulane. So the matchups there, the tougher schedule. It's always tough laying significant points, but the good thing is they're not significant. It's only 3.5. So I like Tulane to get this one against Louisiana. Wouldn't this have been a great game in New Orleans?
Yes.
I think the crowd would have been a little bit bigger than it will be for the Cure Bowl in Orlando, Florida.
Las Vegas Bowl, pretty good matchup, actually. Fresno State, Arizona State, and this is the first game, Phil, that comes to mind. The increasing issue of which players are going to opt out of playing in the bowl game, understandably so. The monster wide receiver for ASU, N'Keal Harry, preparing for the pros, not risking injury. The Bulldogs favored 4.5, 5 over Herm's Sun Devils.
Yeah, and that's one I understand, because Harry probably going to be the first wide receiver taken in the draft, so why risk it in this particular game? Other ones I don't understand. We'll probably get to the Will Greer one down the road, but not a first-round pick. You wonder why he opted out of the game. But when I look at this matchup, Fresno statistically clearly a better team. They outgained their opponents by 97 yards per game. Their defense allows just 324 yards per game. When you look at their linebackers and their secondary, I ran the number six pass D in the country. They clearly have a reason for being favored in this game. Also, without Harry, you got to give him the edge at wide receiver. But I think Arizona State rates the edge in numerous categories, including running back with Eno Benjamin, a guy that rushed for 1,500 yards this year. Their offensive line was one of the 10 semifinalists for the coveted Joe Moore Award. And these guys really break down. I'm on the conference calls with them for the Joe Moore Award. I'm a member of the voting committee. These guys really break down the technique and everything the offensive lines do. So that's quite an honor for Arizona State. Then you look at the schedule. Arizona State's taken on 10 Power 5 teams, and while Fresno's taken on two, only one of them made it to a bowl game, and the one that did is Minnesota. So they've hardly taken on this anywhere near the same schedule. And generally, the Group of 5 team always has an advantage in this game, in that they're the underdog. It means more to get the win. But how about this? You got a Power 5 team in Arizona State that's an underdog to the Group of 5 team. I think that'll have Arizona State motivated. Herm Edwards, hey, he plays to win the game. And they're four-and-a-half-point dog in this one. I'm going to take an Arizona State to win this one outright.
All right, we get our break in, come back. We'll address the games that will be played before we next speak with Phil. And also get an early thought. Still a couple of games, a couple of weeks out, but U of H, A&M, and Texas as they prepare for their bowls of, well, a range of prestige. Part two of the week's resumption of College Football Preview Bowl Style with Phil Steele, 12:14 on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
You are listening to the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5
and on Sports Map 94.1.
Presented by Tri Eagle Energy. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
Back half of the week's college football bowl preview and a little more, but with Phil Steele. And as is true week in, week out throughout the season, well, with 40-plus bowl games, there's absolutely no one more exhaustive in preparation and presentation of information, even beyond the two segments that we do here on the show. So, Phil, give the lay of the land.
Well, I appreciate that, Charlie. Now, you can head to ESPN.com/Phil Steele, and I will have selections on all 40 of the bowl games up there for you this bowl season. Got about 20 of them up there for you now, and we'll keep adding to the article. That's ESPN.com/Phil Steele. Also, inside the press box, my newsletter, you can get my computer's forecast on every game, get my forecast on every game, not only for the bowls, but also for the playoffs. There's four full weeks of NFL playoffs. The entire postseason package, which gets you every bowl game, every playoff game, $89. But if you mention the code word playoffs, that's playoffs, you get $10 off. So just go to insidethepressbox.com, type in the code word playoffs, take $10 off the $89 postseason package price, get every bowl, every playoff game.
All right, Phil, Camellia Bowl in Montgomery, Alabama, Georgia Southern, Eastern Michigan, close to a pick 'em. I guess the Eagles, the teensy favorite there, Georgia Southern.
Yeah, Georgia, both teams are the Eagles for this one. Georgia Southern now about a 2.5-point favorite. And I like Eastern Michigan to win this one outright. When I look at the matchup, actually Georgia Southern up to a 3-point favorite now. Georgia Southern's a team that runs the option. And this year, surprisingly, Georgia Southern averaged 66 yards per game less than what their opponents came in allowing. So it's an offense that hasn't been as potent as usual, 344 yards per game. Meanwhile, Eastern Michigan's a team that beat Purdue earlier this year. They've got a solid quarterback in Tyler Wiegers, an Iowa transfer. And I would give them the edge defensively on the defensive line, linebackers, DBs. They've got the better coaching edge here as somebody who's got bowl experience. And the thing I like, they've got extra time to prepare for the option. I think Eastern Michigan's actually a better team, and they're actually a field goal underdog right now. So I like the Eastern Michigan squad in this one.
All right, and the fifth game Saturday, the New Orleans Bowl, where ideally Tulane and ULL should be playing. Instead, it's App State, Appalachian State, giving 7 to Middle Tennessee State.
And it's the final game. It seems like Brent Stockstill has been playing at Middle Tennessee for about 6, 7, 8 years now. It's his final game. And this is an App State team that lost their head coach in Scott Satterfield. He's off to Louisville, so they're going to have an interim head coach. He's going to be taking on a guy that's very experienced in bowl games. in Rickstock still. He's got 7 bowl games under his belt. This will be his 8th. So I give the coaching edge to Middle. I also like Brent Stockstill's pinpoint passing. He's hitting 71% this year. You look at App State, they've only got 22 sacks all season. It's not like they're going to get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. That means Ty Lee could have a big game at wide receiver. Put him on your fantasy football team. App State, the big favorite, but Middle's taking on the tougher schedule. And Middle's actually taking on 4 SEC teams this year. Vanderbilt, Georgia, Kentucky. So they've actually played 4 all season long, and when you add all that up, I think Middle's taking on the tougher schedule. But I give them a good shot of pulling the upset. I'm taking the full touchdown here with Middle Tennessee.
All right, 2 games early next week, Phil, between now and when we next speak. So let's cover the Boca Raton and Frisco. That's Texas. They hate Frisco as a reference in the Bay Area. Boca Raton, UAB, small favorite over Northern Illinois, and in the Frisco Bowl, Ohio over San Diego State, San Diego State.
Yeah, I like UAB over Northern. Last year when they got to the bowl game, they got wiped out by Ohio U. I asked Coach Clark about that during the off season, and he said that, number one, his team is just happy to be in a bowl game last year. Number two, he felt that their limited squad, remembers their first year back after sitting out, was overmatched talent-wise. But this year they've added a lot of talent. They're a lot more experienced, and I like the way they stood toe-to-toe with Texas A&M. If you watch that game, you know that UAB played A&M even up. They had numerous turnovers, some block punt, things went against them. But I was very impressed with UAB in that game. I think they're the stronger team. They're going to come to win this bowl game. Northern Illinois, meanwhile, 0-5 in bowl games under Coach Rod Carey. I like in the defensive struggle, I like UAB to win that one. And then Ohio U against San Diego State. You know, the Bobcats have the offense, no doubt about it. Nathan Rourke at QB. Ouellette at running back. They've got the receiver and Poppy White and the offensive line edge as well. San Diego State's got the defensive edge here in all 3 layers. Defensive line, linebacker, DB. It was a very young Ohio U defense this year. San Diego State's played the tougher schedule. And the thing about San Diego State is they play to the level of their competition. They're not a good favorite, but they are a great underdog. In fact, the underdog in San Diego State games this year, 11-1. So the fact they're an underdog has me liking the Aztecs. Even though I think Ohio could win a close one, I'm going to take the 3 points with San Diego State.
All right, Phil, one other game this weekend, and I know for you, even for you, it's a little bit of a stretch to dig deep. But since the game will be played just north of Houston in the Woodlands, technically Shenandoah, it's the Stag Bowl tomorrow night, the Division III National Championship, Mount Union against Mary Hardin Baylor.
Well, I'm actually a little prejudiced in this one, Charlie. I got a couple nieces that go to Mount Union, so it's right here in the local area. And the one thing I want to do is I want to thank Mary Hardin Baylor for knocking Wisconsin Whitewater out of the playoffs. If you look at Mount Union, you look at their championship games, they have lost 5 in a row to Wisconsin, or 5 championship games to Wisconsin Whitewater. So Mary Hardin Baylor got rid of that. Last year, Mount Union beat them 12-0. Going to be partial. I got to tell you, I'm rooting for Mount Union. I know that doesn't make a lot of favors there, but I'm going to go with Mount Union to come out the winner.
Well, I have at least a couple of listeners just pleased as punch that you knew anything about Division III football, and there's actually plenty there on the bone. Quick thoughts, Phil, as the games get near, we have a couple more visits where you can give the full breakdown. But Armed Forces, Army, and U of H, I'm not sure what the Cougars' engagement level will be in the game. Army having one of the great years for the program since the days of Mr. Inside and Mr. Outside.
Absolutely. And, you know, the funny thing about this bowl, I want to point out, Charlie, it's amazing to me. When you look at Army this year, they're allowing 294 yards per game. When you look at Houston this year, they are giving up 489 yards per game. So there's no question, defensively, Army has a massive edge, right? Well, Army's only faced like 600-some-odd plays. Houston's faced about 1,000, 1,100 plays. On the year, the two teams are identical in the yards per play they allowed. I found that amazing going through the research of this game. I still rate Army the edge on defense, and offensively, they're taking on a Houston defensive line that was really beat up at the end of the year. No Ed Oliver, probably missing 2 other starters here, taking on the cut blocking of Army. Army also just played 2 weeks ago. Houston hasn't played for 28 days. I got to go with Army to get the win in this one, and I'll lay the 3 points with the Cadets.
An early thought on the Gator and Sugar Bowls, A&M and North Carolina State. I know the Wolfpack's best defensive player, another one of the guys opting out off the Aggies. Great win over LSU to stamp Jimbo Fisher's first season with a bowl victory. I would think A&M will be pretty engaged with that one, and I would also think as a major bowl, Texas would rate that intangible anyway over Georgia.
Yeah, watching A&M all year, they're actually one of the I've got them in my power ratings as a potential top 10 team. They're about number 12 coming in. NC State hasn't overwhelmed me all year long. I think A&M's a team. I talked to Coach Fisher in November, and I said, you guys are doing great statistically. He said they needed to finish. Then they went out and finished against UAB, and I think that when you look at A&M, they're a team that I think has a clear advantage here. The matchup negative is Finley against that pass defense. Other than that, it's all A&M. I like the Aggies in that one. And Tom Herman, you know, he let me down as an underdog against Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game, but they sure look good. They almost had a game. I got to take Texas as an underdog, even against a Georgia team that was so impressive against Alabama. I'm taking the points. I probably like Georgia to win the game, but I think Texas is going to give them quite a game.
All right, we'll spend more time on those as we get nearer to them. One other thing, Phil, I want to ask you today before we go. We knew the rumble would grow. It was a matter of how much, how soon. Playoff expansion to 8 teams, Big Ten not in it this year, Pac-12 not in it again this year. Do you remain adamant that 4 is the number? Well, what do you think of the proposal that certainly will be the one that gets run? You expand to 8, the 5 power conference champions, the group of 5 highest rated champion, and 2 at large.
You know, Charlie, if both these playoff games go true to form and the favorites win big, people are going to be wondering why we even have 4 in this year. All we needed was 2. Just let's go ahead and line up Alabama and Clemson and get them in there. I've been a proponent of the 14 playoff. I think in most years the 14 playoff has been the one that's been the best. And I just don't want to play extra meaningless games for the sake of playing them. I mean, let's keep the best 4 teams in there. To me, you can make an argument against Oklahoma, against Ohio State, or against Georgia, even deserving to be in the playoffs this year. So I don't see any reason to expand it to 8. I've been a 4-team proponent for 14, 15 years now, and I'm staying in the 4-team camp.
There you have it. All right, on the way out, re-highlight your info, Phil.
Thank you, Charlie. Once again, you can head to ESPN.com/Phil Steele. I've started to put about 20 of my bowl picks up there. I'll have all 40 by in the next week, and that is ESPN.com/Phil Steele. Also, go to InsideThePressBox.com. You not only get my forecast on every game, but you get your computer's forecast on every game. Just $89 gets you all the bowls, all the playoffs. And if you type in the code word playoffs, you get $10 off. That's InsideThePressBox.com. And finally, Charlie, you need to join my
yes.
Bowl Confidence Contest. It's up right now. Just go to my Twitter account, at PhilSteele042. It'll take you to the Bowl Confidence Contest. Make sure you join before Saturday, my friend. I want to compete against you all bowl season long.
It's a given. I'm usually eliminated by the first Sunday, but for those who've never checked it out, your number one confidence pick, maximum points, and so on down the line, tiebreaker being the national championship game. Fun, free to enter. And if you're in Phil's group, you're where all the cool kids are. Phil, appreciate it. Happy holidays, happy bowling, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds great, Charlie. You have a great weekend, my friend.
All right, get our break in. Couple of segments left. Some more basketball to get to. A little bit on Texans, Jets, Chiefs, and Chargers. A humdinger.